Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. We are on, right? Yeah, there we go. I want to extend a personal invitation to each of you for Christmas Eve service, which is on Christmas Eve, which is tomorrow night at 10 p.m. It's one of my favorite services out of the year. My two favorite services are Christmas Eve and Good Friday. I have to say those are the two least attended services. And they're not my favorite because they're the least attended. They are my favorite because those are the two services that have the most meaning for me. Childhood memories and personal times with Christ. Those two just really bring up for me. But if you have guests at your home for Christmas Eve, bring them to church. It's 10 o'clock. They should be leaving anyways. If they're staying overnight, we'll say, hey, come on with us. You can wear your jammies. The footy ones are really good. That's what I used to wear as a kid to church service, Christmas Eve. But we will have communion. We will sing some Christmas carols. And we will just speak on just the awesome thing that God has done. Which is very similar to what we're doing today. Except it's not candlelight. I want to share with you just a little illustration, or I found it to be thought-provoking. It was actually under a humor thing, and yeah, it's somewhat humorous, but this one is more than humor. There's some poignant truth in this one. The day of the Christmas presentation arrived, my young daughter, Jana, was so excited about her part that I thought she was to be one of the... main characters, though she had not told me what she was to do. The parents were all there. One by one, the children took their places. I could see the shepherds fidgeting in the corner of the stage, meant to represent the fields for the sheep. Mary and Joseph stood prominently behind the manger. In the back, three young wise men waited impatiently, but still Jana sat quietly and confident. And she just began. A long time ago, Mary and Joseph had a baby, and they named him Jesus, she said. And when Jesus was born, a bright star appeared over the stable. On that cue, Jana got up from her chair, picked up a large tinfoil star, walked behind Mary and Joseph, and held the star up high for everyone to see. When teachers told about the shepherds coming to see the baby, the three young shepherds came forward, and Jana jiggled the star up and down, excitedly, to show them where to come. When the wise men responded to their cue, she went forward a little to meet them and led them the way. Her face was a light as a real star might have been. The playlet ended. We had refreshments. On my home, Jenna said with great satisfaction, I had the main part. You did, I questioned, wondering why she thought that. Yes, she said, because I showed everyone how to find Jesus. Are you showing people how to find Jesus this Christmas? I hope I am. And that's kind of where we're going to go a little bit today. If you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, get the first seven verses of chapter 2. That in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph, who went up from his town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you would open up your word to us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit to give us understanding, which is beyond the wisdom of man. Lord, help us to see how even this simple narrative reveals new truth yet today. Father God, I ask for your anointing to be upon me, that as I speak, your people might be blessed, that your word would go forth, and that your name would be lifted up. Bless your people here, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're going through Luke for our Christmas story this December, and we have this passage. Now last we'd heard from Mary, Joseph didn't know anything about this coming baby. So I do want to backtrack a little bit and take a look at that. In Matthew chapter 1, we have the story of how Joseph found out. Start with verse 18, and says, and this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So here we are back in Luke, and we have the story of the actual birth. Now, Mary had been visited by the archangel Gabriel. Mary's cousins, Zechariah and his wife, had some special things happen. Joseph had a dream. But to the rest of the world, they looked like the most normal, average, low economic family there is. Okay, they weren't wealthy. They didn't have property or power or money. They were young. Again, we figure Mary was probably 15 or so. Yet, in the midst of this normalness, stop it. Make it stop. In the midst of this average type of typical scene, which nobody would comment upon, nobody would say, these folks are something special. That's not what would have happened. Somebody would have looked at them and said, nothing special there. That would have been the typical response. Yet this is what God used as His venue to show up here on earth. Small family. A poor family. Young family. Nobody special. Nobody powerful. Nobody important. Yet this is who God was using. How many times have we thought that if something was really important, it would have been on the evening news? If something was really important, it would have happened to an important person. This is the single most important event that had occurred on the face of the earth since creation. You think I'm exaggerating? I don't. Sometimes we use literary things to say, to exaggerate, to make a point. I'm not exaggerating to make a point here. This is literally the most significant event to occur upon the face of the earth since God created the face of the earth. He came. Personally, as a baby. And He did it in as normal and as plain and in as unexciting a manner as you could possibly come up with. You might even say He came in a little bit too low-key and a little bit too unexciting. They couldn't find a room. Okay, so maybe we're starting to get excited. But not the kind of excitement that anybody wants. I remember when Donna was pregnant with our three boys, and she says, I want to sit down or I want to lie down. You know, it was at the top of my agenda to find her a place to sit or lie down. And to not be able to provide her a room in which even to give birth to their son. Hey, hon, how about the barn? Wouldn't have gone over well with my wife. Okay. It's not me. You're the one with the controls. Stop it. This morning, as I've read these passages, which just is a narrative which is very plain. Nothing exciting is happening in these first seven verses, other than the birth of God. But it's presented so nonchalant. Now later there'll be trumpets and there'll be angels. And what are they going to do? They're going to go to the king and say, guess what? No, they go show up to a couple of shepherds out in the middle of nowhere. Shepherds. They're well known for being, you know, a little, and, you know, maybe a little stinky. You know, they weren't considered to be the top of society. As a matter of fact, they were considered to be the bottom. God chose to do things the way He did to confound the wisdom of the world. And this morning, this Christmas season, I want you to look for God in the plain, in the ordinary, in the it doesn't make sense for God to be there places. Does it make sense for God to be in a manger? We say absolutely. Why? Because we grew up being told that that's where he was born. But people, it doesn't make sense. It's not the way it should be. Not according to the wisdom of man. Not according to the way that we think that important thing should happen. Yeah, we expect the most important person ever to be born on the face of the earth to sleep in a feeding trough. No. We expect privilege, but he didn't have privilege. Again, the point that I'm making here is God is in all things and everywhere around us. He's there if we open our eyes and look. Now, I'm not talking some, woo-woo-woo thing where, God's in the tree. What I'm talking about is God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And everything that occurs, occurs because he has allowed it to occur. Sometimes he allows things to occur that are contrary to his will, just as I, as a parent, allowed my children to do some things that were contrary to my will. I could have stopped it, but I let them do it anyways. My dad did the same thing. I had one of the worst hangovers. He knew what I was doing. Got me up at 4 a.m. and we went working the next day. Oh. What I'm saying is that there isn't anything that's too big or too small that God doesn't care about it. That isn't here because God created it or allowed it to be. This Christmas season, don't look for God in the big and the exciting and the usual places. Yeah, he's there. But I'm asking you to search for him in those random encounters at the grocery store checkout line. Talking with somebody in the elevator, maybe in the hospital, going up and down, changing floors. Maybe you're talking to a friend or a loved one on the phone. Pretty normal thing. But God's in it. The blessing's there. If you open your eyes for it. Donna and I had visitation of God's blessing last night. JD, Nora Jean, Brittany, I see you back there. They all showed up at our house last night singing Christmas carols. Then they went over to Ed and Peggy's, but nobody opened the door. Of course, it was like 10:30 at night. But they came over, they sang Christmas carols, and then they came in, had cookies and hot chocolate. We had to do the thing right. But we could have just said, thank you, bye. We took a little bit more of it. We got a little larger blessing out of it. Why? Because we entered into the blessing. We invited him in. Because we wanted to share what they wanted to share with us. We wanted to be part of it. Are you doing that this Christmas? Are you doing what this little girl in the play did? I had the main part. Why? Because I was showing everybody how to get to Jesus. Over here. Over here. See? He's over here. You. Hey, John, look. David, Jesus. Mike. David, Jesus, over here. Come this way. George! I can't hardly see that far. But David, Jesus, this way. Are we doing that this Christmas? Sometimes we can do it forthright and saying, hey, you want to come to Christmas Eve service? I've been asking my neighbors. Sometimes we do it with just, hey, want some help shoveling that driveway? Funny thing, I did it the backwards way. Actually, I asked my neighbor to help me shovel my driveway. Worked, too. You know, he's shoveling his driveway, and I'm walking over to my house saying, yeah, I got to go do mine. You know, when you finish yours, if you want, you come on over. And anyhow, I go in the house, and I put on my clothes to get ready to shovel, and I open the garage door, and I fire up the snowblower, and I go out. He's out. Next thing I know, he's behind me with a little push shovel. Well, down the driveway, got that slush, and my snowblower isn't as good as Ed's, so I can't throw the slush. So we're doing that by hand, and we spent the next half hour just visiting while we're shoveling. I put the snowblower away and put out my push shovel because it's easier to talk. But and we talked about the blessing of Christmas, about God. Now, that's not your usual conversation for shoveling snow, maybe. But it could be. We have the birth story of Jesus. Very, very normal. Very, very mundane. Very, very the most exciting thing that there ever was. It's hidden with the normal and the mundane. And God has invited us to come closer, to really take a look. We need to get down and look at the face of God. He doesn't want us to do it from afar. He wants us to get close. He wants to enter into our Christmas. Jesus is not meant to be held off at a distance during Christmas. He's meant to be brought in close and shared with all whom we love. It's every day. It's normal. It's not meant to be something that requires fanfare. So, probably not the most stirring Christmas message you've ever heard. I know it's not the most exciting sermon I've ever preached. But the point of it is the most poignant one that I can come up with, and that is, are you holding up Jesus this Christmas? Are you looking for him in the everyday stuff all around? Please do. That's what Christmas is about. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you did come to this earth as a little baby. And it just boggles our minds to think of the way you did it and the importance of this act that you set aside your power of your divine nature so that you could enter in and be with each of us. Now, Lord, I ask that you help each of us this Christmas season to look for you in every aspect of our lives. And then when we find you, to show you to those who are around us. Might we lead others to you. Might we point the way to you, the very God of creation. Lord, be with us this Christmas. And may Christmas always be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.